Hello, welcome to Press TV News Analysis. I'm Kavit Afwai. The eastern part of Libya, known as Cyrenaica, has declared autonomy for the oil-rich eastern region. The National Transitional Council head, Mustafa Abdel Jalil, has responded quickly and swiftly, first urging dialogue from the tribal leaders, but threatening the use of force if dialogue fails. Is Libya headed for a civil war? And how much of a chance is there for Libya to be divided? Just a few of the questions we'll be asking in this edition of the News Analysis. Are we going to see a repeat of what happened in Sudan? Well, we will also examine whether there are foreign hands at play trying to shape Libya's future.
As Libya is gearing for its first free elections in June, chaos continues to prevail in the country following months of civil war and devastation by U.S.-led NATO attacks. The crisis has deepened with the declaration of semi-autonomy by the oil-rich province of Cyrenaica.
That has raised a lot of fear that the country might break up in the wake of Muammar Gaddafi's downfall.
The autonomy decision was made at a meeting attended by some 3,000 tribal leaders and politicians. They created a council under a former political prisoner, Ahmed El-Sanusi, to administer the region. The council has called for a return of federalism while accepting the NTC as the country's symbol of unity. The interim government has rejected the move, accusing some Arab countries of supporting and financing sedition in Libya.
They flatly rejected the idea, and even Abdelrahim El-Kit on state TV announced that they are against the division of Libya.
The NTC chief, Abdel Jalil, has also threatened to use force against the declaration of autonomy. He called on leaders in the Cyrenaica region to engage in dialogue, warning them against remnants of the Gaddafi regime in their ranks. Supporters of autonomy say Cyrenaica has been neglected for decades and that local people should decide on regional matters. The interim government has warned it could lead to the breakup of the North African nation. Several cities, including Benghazi and Tripoli, have witnessed rallies against the federal system.
No to federalism, no to regionalism. Yes to a unified Libya. No east or west. Tripoli is the capital and Benghazi will never divide the country.
The U.S. and its Western allies, which unleashed devastation under the pretext of liberating Libyans, have remained tight-lipped so far. Libyans say the Western interventions made the situation worse in the country, with tribal, regional and class divisions exposed. The latest crisis in Libya cannot be seen in isolation, as Western players are well engaged with their secession schemes in the Middle East and North Africa. In 2006, the U.S. proposed a similar plan for Iraq in the name of federalism, in which Washington proposed to divide the country into three parts on ethnic lines. Libya is another country being trapped in the Western power games. The U.S.-led NATO has already been accused of violating a U.N. mandate on Libya. This after its savage six-month blitz with over 30,000 air and missile assaults left thousands of civilians dead or maimed. The ruined nation is still struggling with clashes, looting and rivalries. Militias have largely refused to heed government calls to disarm. It remains to be seen if the interim government will be able to bring the warring factions together and reunite the country.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of the News Analysis. Spokesperson from the Democratic Party of Libya, Sabri Malek, joins us from London. We have editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Azikiwe, who joins us from Detroit. And African policy analyst, Ni Akete, joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Sabri Malek, first to you. This announcement by Cyrenaica, a call for autonomy and a federal system of governance. A few basic questions comes to mind. Why now? What impact is this going to have? And what are their gains?
Well, we have to have an idea of the clear picture of what's happening in the whole region. The Libyan revolution is seen as a threat by the Saudi regime. The Saudi Arabia doesn't want Libya to become a democracy for fear of the revolution spreading to its territory. This is why we have foreign hands in Libya meddling in Libyan affairs. They want either to force fundamentalism on us or the fragmentation of the country. So, yes, I agree with the theory that there are foreigners who are meddling in our affairs. And what happened in Benghazi yesterday had nothing to do with federalism. It was a recipe for the partitioning of the country.
Okay. Abiyoye Ezekiwe, when we look at what our guest Sabri Malik said in terms of the threat that the NTC head has said, is Saudi Arabia the country that perhaps Mustafa Abdel Jalil did not directly say, but is a country afraid of democracy knocking at its doors?
I think there are a number of countries that are involved in this whole plot to bring about the division of Libya and other countries in North Africa and throughout the entire Middle Eastern region. Even during the war last year, there was actions that were taken early on in February and March that clearly indicated that this was a regionally based insurgency that took place inside the country. Now, the United States and Britain and France all have a vested interest in a weaker and divided Libya. Most of the oil resources that exist in Libya are located in these regions which have been declared semi-autonomous. They're calling it something that harks back to the days of the Ottoman Empire, to the times of Italian colonialism inside of Libya, Cyrenaica, and also it's called Barka. These elements have also created their separate military units called the Supreme Military Council of Barka. Therefore, I believe very strongly that this is a conjunction of forces in the West, as well as the conservative Gulf states that are attempting to partition Libya in order to further exploit the country in regard to its oil and its natural gas resources. And it's really a tragedy because Libya has the largest known oil reserves on the African continent. And the country has and could be in a good position to foster not only economic development inside of Libya, but also to assist economic development in other parts of North Africa and throughout the region. So I think this is clearly a plot to further weaken Libya, to underdevelop Libya, and also to exploit the vast resources that exist inside that North African state.
Nia Kweda, do you agree with that? Perhaps this is something that NATO countries, of course, United States is part of that. After all, as our guest said there, oil is and should be a factor because six of the major terminals that exist there, five of them are located in the eastern part of the country. And also, in the same respect, if that is the case, if division was the ultimate goal, do you think that that also plays a hand in the way that now the U.S. seems not to be so much in support of the current NTC Transitional Council, given the performance, which some are say are very, very negative, even some Libyans are saying?
Well, thank you very much for including me in the discussion. To answer your basic question, no, I wouldn't go as far. I do agree that there are all kinds of outside countries who will be fishing in troubled waters. There's no question about that. What exactly their agenda is, do they want to split Libya into separate, smaller, controllable countries? Well, it depends on what information people have. This is an accusation and a speculation. Is it true? One can never know. Now, but I do think that different countries, as have been mentioned in one of your questions, you know, Saudi Arabia's name has come up, Qatar's name has come up, other names have come up, all Middle Eastern countries. And then, of course, there are the Western countries, the United States, the NATO countries. So I am sure that all these are trying to manipulate the situation to their advantage. But where the factor that I would like to add is that we need to remember that in the Benghazi meeting yesterday, there are reports that some put the number at least 2,000, others say 3,500. These are local peoples who have come together. If they are being manipulated from outside, it's massive manipulation for an outside country to get 3,500 people to meet together and say, we want a certain amount of autonomy for our region. We must not forget that the rebellion, the insurgency that toppled Colonel Gaddafi, admittedly with the help of the UN and NATO and the United States, started in Benghazi. So there is some disaffection in that region of the country. So my basic point is that, yes, there are international role players trying to fish in troubled waters, but there are also grievances in that region. And finally, I do think that if you listen carefully what the NTC is saying and what the group in Benghazi is saying, both of them are saying it's a matter of what degree of autonomy they want. The Benghazi group says we want federalism. The NTC is saying, yes, we won't have a central government as strong as Colonel Gaddafi was, but it should be something a little less than federalism. So they are actually arguing about a fairly narrow space. Moreover, we haven't mentioned the two other pre-Gaddafi regions of Libya. They will also have a say. So I think this is sort of an argument and a debate about the future of Libya. It is very dangerous, and we have to make sure it doesn't become violent. But yes, there are local and both outside forces fishing in troubled waters.
Sabri Malek, the NTC has said that, and along with some Libyans who are divided, they have said that this perhaps is going to lead to further chaos, this call for autonomy. First of all, why shouldn't they call for autonomy, Cyrenaica? They, after all, are saying their reasons, they were marginalized for decades under Gaddafi and not given a fair share of Libya's wealth. So don't they have a right in asking for this autonomy?
There is a lot to be said for federalism. Mature democracies like Switzerland and the United States are indeed federalist. However, if we're going to have federalism in Libya, it has to be done legally by the book. But forcing the issue on us like this, it's really fishy. The intention is not federalism. The intention is the partitioning of the country. Yes, we have grievances everywhere. We all suffered under Gaddafi. Eastern Libya has suffered, but there are other parts who suffered too. Everybody has suffered under Gaddafi. This is just an excuse. What we want now, we realize that there is a constitutional vacuum in the country. There are going to be elections held in June, but Libya is not ready for the elections in June.
Why are they not ready?
Libya has been under Gaddafi for 42 years. To establish democracy by June is a fantasy. We are not used to democratic ways. We are very much used to dictatorship. Dictatorship is one man making decisions and everybody else is obeying because of fear. But democracy is a very complex system of government. This is why in the Democratic Party we call for the United Nations to intervene directly in Libya and to supervise, not just to supervise actually, but to run Libya for 2 years to prepare the country for democracy. Uh-huh. Without the United Nations help, we will not be able to make it. And we're going to have a lot of problems.
Okay, I have a feeling that you don't really like this call for autonomy. So I need to come to you, Abiyomi Azikiwe, and really get down to some of the basic realities and facts. Perhaps Sabri Malek, you can answer this also later. Who's controlling the oil fields right now? Because according to certain reports, right now there are Qataris, UAE nationals, along with other nationalities other than Libyans, who are dying for work, who are controlling those oil fields. And we understand that the oil output has reached over a million barrels, just in oil, not to mention the gas. And where is this going? Why is it then that after this war imposed by NATO and its allies, the United States mainly, that the country is still not reeling back in terms of its infrastructure?
Well, the war, in our opinion, was a war for oil. And when that happens, that means that the people who control the international petroleum industry are not Libyans. They're not people in the countries where oil is being produced. It is in the countries in which the multinational oil companies are based, i.e. the United States and Europe. And it's not surprising that you would have people from other Gulf Arab states who were involved in the war against the Jemahiriya government that was overthrown last year, There were Qatari special forces involved. You had airstrikes by countries from the Gulf region right alongside NATO and the United States that were involved in this massive air campaign and naval blockade against the previous government of Muammar Gaddafi. So therefore, it's not surprising that you would have non-Libyans being in control of the oil fields and also being in control of the export of oil to the international community.
Well, maybe that's why. I'm sorry to jump in. Maybe that's why Saranica has called for this autonomy. Don't you think that they obviously see what's going on, given that five of the major oil fields are in the region that they are at? Maybe they see that, hey, we need to make sure that this oil stays and that we reap the rewards of the revolution that they fought for, which began in Benghazi, by the way, in the eastern part of Libya.
They are not in a position. But they are not in a position as a small, isolated enclave within a country in North Africa to compete with the European Union, to compete with the transnational oil corporations, to compete with the United States. And this is why this is such a contradiction, because you have the consolidation of Europe. The European Union and NATO has grown in number as well as in strength over the last 2 decades. The
okay,
United States
well, you talk about not being in a position, Nia Quita, let me get your, sorry to jump in there, but let me get Nia Quita in here. Why would our guests there think that they're not in a position? Maybe perhaps you can shed light. Are there troops, perhaps NATO troops, U.S. troops? Back in January 2012, there were indications that 12,000 U.S. ground troops were to be going to Libya. Are the deployments of troops from other countries, such as the United States and Libya? Hence our guests saying that they're not in a position to fight the EU and the U.S. in this matter and NATO countries?
Well, you know, one of the things that troubles me when we are discussing such issues about events in African countries is that a lot of charges are thrown out, a lot of intentions and plans are thrown out without any evidence and without any logic. To answer your question, I can tell you that I have seen no decision in Washington or anywhere else to send in troops into Libya, the so-called boots on the ground. I haven't seen any evidence of that. So anybody who says that there are troops, it is a basic tenet of discussion and intellectual honesty to offer evidence for whatever we say. What we say must be logical, we must offer evidence. Of course, when countries are moving in the international sphere, they use deception, they do things under the table. So I'm not saying one cannot be suspicious, but it cannot be all just conspiracy theories. That's number one. But I do agree that Cyrenica by itself does not have any institutions. I mean, yesterday's meeting called for an institution and they made Mr. Al-Zubayr the head. But apart from that, they don't have even a police force. So they don't have a military. They cannot defend the oil fields against outsiders. Now, what our partner, our Libyan comrade said from the first speaker, I do share it that it would be good if you can get the United Nations to come in with a good program that will stabilize the country and then it will be ready for real democracy. Unfortunately, I don't think that will happen soon.
How could the United Nations help in establishing democracy? I don't quite understand that. Why would Libya need that? You have a transitional government in place. What is the UN going to do?
I want to address that, and of course Mr. Siddiqui can come in because he floated it, but I share his point that already anything you read will tell you that Libya is very divided. Even Tripoli is not controlled by one force. And of course, 80% of Libya, south of the coastal strip, we haven't even talked about them. So Libya is a very divided country now. And so the point is, ideally, you will need a neutral, strong force to establish stability so that you can build the building blocks of democracy. I'm saying that's ideal. It's unlikely to happen. I'll be very surprised if the United Nations agrees to go in again, because remember, it has to be the Security Council, and there, I don't see Russia and China agreeing, because they've been complaining about how Resolution 1973 was implemented. So I don't see it coming. So it seems to me what we have now is for the NTC to negotiate something with Cyrenaica. But let's not forget Tripolitania and Fezzan as well. And the final point that the first speaker made that I do share is that even if federalism is a good thing, and I do think it is, depending on the details, and you are going to do it, you don't do it by unilateral declaration. It has to be negotiated because there are other parts of the country. And we also must remember Nigeria has gone through some of these same issues of regional groups who have wealth and who feel they are not being treated properly and who feel like they want to secede. So okay. This is a complex situation. If the UN could come in, it would be good, but I don't see it happening.
Okay. Sabri Malik, it seems like the last word is going to go to you. Tell us, are negotiations going to be resultful? And Mustafa Abdul Jalil has also said we are ready to deter them, remnants of Gaddafi's regime, in reference to this call for autonomy, even with force. Chances of that happening?
We in the Democratic Party are very much against this talk about using force. We do not want to use force against our brothers and sisters in East Libya. We must remember that what happened yesterday in Benghazi did not represent the whole of Cyrenaica, far from it. Today we have had demonstrations all over Cyrenaica against what happened yesterday. What we want is that the United Nations to come in. I disagree with your our colleague that he said that Russia and China will not agree to it. In fact, Russia and China are in favor of the United Nations coming into Libya and taking charge of the country. We must not forget that Libya was the creation of the United Nations in 1951. The problems we are having now in Libya are very similar to those we had in the 1940s. Those days, we did not have oil, but we had the same problems. The problem is not about oil. There is oil in eastern Libya, and there is oil and gas in western Libya. Libya is a very rich country. What we want now is to for the United Nations to help us in nation building. We are not familiar with the democratic ways, I'm afraid. And the United Nations must come to Libya, and Mr. Ian Martin in Libya is the time for him to help us. I would like to add that Dr. El-Kib, Abdurrahim El-Kib, the Prime Minister, represents the unity of the country. He's doing a very good job. He's very nationalistic. He's very patriotic. He's a Democrat. We all Libyans must rally behind this man. And Dr. Abdurrahim El-Kib now must consider seriously contacting the United Nations about help to establish democracy in Libya.
Lots more to talk about. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thank you very much. Spokesperson for the Democratic Party in Libya, Sabri Malik, there with the statements from London. Also like to thank editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Abiyomi Azikiwe from Detroit, and African policy analyst Nia Akwete from Washington. Thank you for your statements. And thank you, the viewer, for watching another edition of the Press TV News Analysis. Comments or suggestions, do send them to newsroom@presstv.ir. From Mikhail Vitakvay and the entire team here in Tehran, it's goodbye.